Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Encuentro. Today is Tuesday in the octave of Christmas. It's also the day when the church commemorates the holy innocents, children that were killed after Jesus was born, because Herod was trying to find the Christ child and dispose of him. Let's begin with a prayer of St. Francis. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, make me a means of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, let me bring joy. Divine Master, grant that I may seek not so much to be consoled, but to console. Not so much to be understood, but to understand. Not so much to be loved, but to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in forgiving that we are forgiven, and it is in dying to ourselves that we are born to eternal life. Amen. Our gospel reading for today is taken from St. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 14. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there till I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night, and departed to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, was in a furious rage. And he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time which he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they were no more. The ancient world had no doubt that God sent his messages to men in dreams. So Joseph was warned in a dream to flee to Egypt to escape Herod's murderous intentions. And the flight to Egypt, though, it was entirely natural. You see, at this point in time, you know, and even in the centuries before Jesus came, whenever there was trouble, whenever there was peril, or some tyranny or persecution that made life intolerable for the Jewish people, They would seek refuge in Egypt. And because of that, there was in every city of Egypt a colony of Jewish people. In the city of Alexandria, as a matter of fact, there were supposedly more than a million Jewish people. And certain districts of the city were entirely handed over to them. So Joseph, in this hour of peril for his wife and his foster child, was doing what many Jews had done before. And when he took Mary and Jesus to Egypt, they did not necessarily find themselves altogether in the midst of strangers, because in every town, in every city, they would find other Jewish people who had sought refuge there. In fact, this story of Joseph taking Mary and Jesus into Egypt was used, believe it or not, by some enemies of the church, adversaries of Christianity, if you will, during the church's early days. You know, they crafted stories about where Jesus got his skill at healing people, where he gained the knowledge that, you know, allowed him to perform miracles. The idea was that, you see, Egypt was a place that was well known for magic and sorcery in the ancient world. And so the enemies of the church, you know, those who wanted to slander Christianity in the ancient world, declared that it was in Egypt that Jesus learned magic and sorcery, and it was this that enabled him later on in life to perform his miracles and and to heal in order to deceive people. Okay? Even pagan philosophers joined in at some point. And of course, it was left to the early theologians of the church, you know, the early fathers of the church, to defeat and to counter these slanderous stories about Jesus going into Egypt with his mom and his foster father. Okay? But there were also beautiful stories, if you will, you know, about the flight of the Holy Family into Egypt. There's two of them that stand out in particular. Now, remember, these are stories that people craft. And so some of them are bad and nasty. Some of them are just nice and pious and lovely. And two of these beautiful stories stand out. There's one story, and it's a legend, okay? These are stories that never made it into the canon of Scripture, okay? Because the church decided that these were not going to be part of the official stories about Jesus that would be in the New Testament. There's one particular legend, okay, that says that on the way to Egypt, the Holy Family were waylaid by a group of thieves, and they wanted to kill them in order to get the meager possessions that they had. And so the chief among these robbers ordered one of the thieves to kill the family and kill the baby. And this thief that was given the command to kill the family happened to look at the face of the child, and for some strange reason the look on the baby's face went straight to this thief's heart, and so he decided not to kill the baby or to harm any of them, any member of the Holy Family. And it is said that, again, this is pious legend, as this thief looks at the child, he finds himself declaring, he says, "You are the most blessed of children," he says. "If ever there comes a time when you have to show me mercy, I hope you remember me. I hope that you do not forget this hour when I showed you mercy." Now, again, the legend continues that many years later, that thief encounters the child again. He's no longer a child. He's now a man. And the encounter happens on Calvary, that the thief who spared the life of the child, of Mary and Joseph, turned out to be Demas. And of course, we know that Demas on the cross asked the Lord for forgiveness. And the Lord did, in fact, show him mercy. Again, beautiful legend. There's a second one, which is just as nice. It's a child's story. Okay, and the story goes that as Joseph and Mary and the baby Jesus were on their way to Egypt, at one point it became so cold because it was already nighttime, and they decided, as they remember, they were fleeing the soldiers of Herod. They decided to take refuge in a cave. And so they found a cave and they went in. And as they went in, again, you'll have to remember, this is pious legend, a spider happened to see the Holy Family come in. And the spider sees the baby Jesus, and he wanted to keep the baby Jesus and the whole family warm. And so what the spider does is he spins a web, okay, all across the entrance to the cave in order to protect the family from the cold. Now, that web that he spun eventually was covered with hoarfrost. And that night, as the Holy Family slept, Herod's soldiers happened to come upon the opening of the cave. And they wanted to go in there and check whether there was anybody hiding there. But the the captain of the group sees the spider web and that it had already had frost all around it, and says to his men, "No, I don't think there's anybody in there, because if there were somebody in there, okay, the spider web here all across the entrance would already have been disturbed." And so again, pious legend says that Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, their lives were spared because of the spider web. Again, these are beautiful, pious legends. Yeah. Today, the church commemorates those innocent children. You know, we're talking about legends and stories. You know, they're fit for children, of course. And so today, the church commemorates the children who were killed by Herod in his attempt to destroy the newborn Savior. Okay. On the 26th, of course, it's the day after Christmas, although this year we didn't quite celebrate it because it was the Feast of the Holy Family. On the 26th, the church commemorates St. Stephen, the church's first martyr. You know, there's a passage in Scripture where Jesus says he came to bring the sword to divide nations and peoples and even families. You know, could we ever find a clear indication of such a division, huh? On the one hand, you have Herod, who could think of nothing but to destroy the newborn Messiah, and in the process destroy the lives of so many. And on the other hand, you have the holy innocents, who in their martyrdom gave witness to Jesus. The birth of Christ, you know, his life, his teachings, his passion, death, and resurrection, everything about him puts before each one of us a choice to be for him or to be against him. If we choose Jesus, we could suffer and even lose our lives. And the world will most likely mock us and think of us strange. And yet heaven knows the real score. If we choose against him, like Herod, the world will probably celebrate us. It will probably even call us winners. And yet we know that the Herods of this world aren't real winners. In fact, Herod was a coward who feared an innocent child. When life's final tally is made, it isn't this kind of person that will celebrate or be celebrated. Not the Herods, but those like the holy innocents the church commemorates today, or Saint Stephen, who is remembered the day after Christmas. They are the ones who will be celebrated, and not the Herods of this world. They are the ones who will be victorious and celebrate, not the Herod types, because they are the ones who witness to a truth that this world will never, ever understand. Good always triumphs in the end. As Archbishop Fulton Sheen once said, "Evil may have its hour, but good will have its day."